Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that that power is meant to be developed in each and every one of us. That power is to be manifested amongst us. That power is to unveil through us, O God, so that the fullness of Christ Jesus will be truly communicated to fill all in all. And we are the instruments of that communication. And that communication can only come forth to the power that you invested in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead. That power that is called the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him, Father. So we pray that you will unfold the church of Jesus Christ across the world and in the heavenly places to growing measures, O God, of the realities in this power that come forth in the fullness of the risen Christ, that as his fullness is communicated into his body, into each and every living member of his body, that we will rise in the wonder of him, to express the wonder of him as a radiance that will fill all creation, Father. So we ask you to bless the church, Lord, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We ask you to bless the church, unfolding the fullness of Christ Jesus as a living reality and as a growing realization within us, that we will understand that it is he who must fill all in all. And if we can understand that, O Lord, the power that is available to the church is a power that will enable all things to be done in the name of Jesus, Father. So enable us to receive the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. Enable us to receive the conviction, O God, that in Christ Jesus we are a very precious and blessed people, Father. We have an awesome destiny, Father. And let that destiny come forth in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of our resurrection power. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Resurrection power is for a newness of life, but there is something here that is written that is very powerful. And it's this, that resurrection power is manifested in the glory of the Father. So you find in verse 4 that it is written, Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Which means to say that resurrection power was manifested in the glory of the Father. Resurrection power was manifested in the glory of the Father. So through resurrection power, God means to communicate the glory of himself into each one of our lives. That is one of the reasons why we unveil as morning stars. So resurrection power comes to us in the glory of our God. Let's look at this in another way. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 22. John chapter 17 is the prayer Jesus made before he went to the cross. And in this, we find something that is very interesting. It says here in verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them that they may be one just as we are one. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. How was the glory that given to Jesus Christ? The glory was given to Jesus Christ when he was raised from the dead. And Jesus Christ sees this and he says, this glory that you are going to bring forth in me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. That they may be one just as we are one. So this glory is communicated to us in a power that will enable us to bring forth all that God has for us. So this power invested in Jesus Christ is meant to be received and realized by each and every one of us. This power is our inheritance and our possession in Christ Jesus. This power is meant to enable us to become a blessed people. That we will no longer be a people who cause pain, but we will be a true blessing on the face of the earth. We will be a blessing because through our lives will manifest a testimony that will proclaim a power that will transform human lives. And that power is entirely in the name of Jesus. So, it is wonderful to hear that resurrection power is an expression of the Father's glory. That resurrection power is an expression of the Father's glory. Let's turn to another verse in Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. This is a psalm of David. And we know that Jesus Christ is the root of David and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And at the last part of this verse, I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name." For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. How did God magnify his word according to all of his name? Or through what process did God magnify his word according to all of his name? He did that through the Lord Jesus Christ. He did that through what Jesus brought forth in his life. The word of God was magnified through the life of Jesus, magnified through his death, magnified in his resurrection, and glorified according to all of God's name. We know that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. That is found in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. That Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. The word of his power is the word that God has glorified according to all of his name. And that word that stands in the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the word that is meant to be written in your heart and my heart. It is the word that is meant to be possessed by the church and to be released by the church in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. And through this word, God will communicate a power that will transform all creation. That's why that power is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 as the surpassing greatness of his power. The power that is above every other kind of power. The power that has the capacity to overcome every other darkness. The power that is able to stand and manifest a reality that is far above every other kind of darkness. That power is the power that we are called to receive, realize, and express. That power comes through us through the Word of God, the Rhema Word of God. So in the testimony of Jesus, in raising him from the dead, God brought forth something awesome. He brought forth the Word in a reality that can be communicated to us in accordance with all of his name. And that word we are called to possess in our hearts. That word we are called to communicate through our lives. That word will establish us as kings and princes of the kingdom of God. That word will enable us to be a true priesthood unto God. That word will manifest in us, enabling us to be true prophets of the living God. Speaking the word according to all that we are called to unfold. So resurrection power, the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him. So we are called to take hold of this resurrection power. We need to understand that the communication of the word in this realm is entirely the work of God. We have to learn how to receive. We have to learn how to realize. We have to learn how to express the word that God wants to give us. Just imagine a reality of the word that is in accordance with all of God's name being manifested in you and me, and manifested through you and me, in a power that is called the surpassing greatness of His power. So this is something we need to understand. A rhema word unveils in the spirit and life of Jesus. We know that, right? John 6, 63. Jesus calls them, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." All right, let's turn to another verse. John chapter 17. Verse 6 to 8. Again, this is the prayer that Jesus prayed before He went to the cross. And He says, "I manifested Thy name to the men whom Thou gavest Me out of the world." You find that in the first part of verse 6. Look at verse 7. "Now they have come to know that everything that Thou hast given Me is from Thee. For the rhema which Thou gavest Me, I have given to them. For the rhema which Thou gavest Me, I have given to them." That's so very important. So Jesus came to manifest the name of God. He manifests the name of God through rhema. And He manifests the rhema of God in accordance with all of God's name through His death and resurrection. He testified that God is good. He testified that everything that comes forth from God will manifest a new creation, will manifest a newness of life, will unveil a salvation that will transform all darkness into light, manifest a power that will transform the hearts of men. That there will be manifested a power so great that lechers will become saints, that murderers will become saints, that wicked people will become holy people. And that must be quite an awesome power, isn't it? That's why the Word of God addresses that power as the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him. So we are called to discover that power. We are called to develop that power in our being. And we are called to manifest that power through our ministries. That's our calling. Whether we are evangelists, whether we are apostles, whether we are prophets, whether we are pastors, whether we are worshipers, whether we are involved in hospitality ministries, whether we are involved in providing the finances of the kingdom of God, whatever kind of ministry that we are called to do, whether we are called to be involved in the administration of the Church of Jesus Christ, whatever area of our lives, as parents, as children, as brothers, as sisters, in marriages, in our families, we are called to discover the power that makes things work. The power that will enable us to unfold a testimony that will show that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to demonstrate that reality. That's our calling. That's our calling. And in demonstrating that reality, we will receive and realize the wonder of the glory of God being manifested wherever we go. That the glory of God will be manifested within us, amongst us, and through us. Who are we to receive and realize the glory of God? Hello. When Moses asked to see the glory of God, God said, "You cannot see My glory. You cannot see My face." But now, through Jesus Christ, we have an access to the glory of God being manifested within us. We are called the temples of God. We are called the tabernacles of the living God. In us, God means to unveil His eternal promises. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The glory of God was foreshadowed in the temple of Solomon. Solomon stood as someone in whom the glory of God would be manifested. Solomon fell. Solomon fell because he used the glory that God manifested in his life for wrong things. Throughout his life, what God gave him worked. And Solomon was very, very successful. But he was a failure because all of his successes didn't draw him to God. And in the end, all of his successes are of no meaning to us today. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 16, God says something after the temple was consecrated to the glory of God, right? Let's look at verse 1 to 3 first, right? Chapter 7. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. Now in the New Testament, the glory of the Lord fills the house and the priests are in the house. That's the difference. The priests of the Old Testament could not enter because the glory of God had manifest. But the priests of the New Testament, the new covenant that stands in the surpassing greatness of the power of Jesus Christ that stands in the merits of the Lamb, is a different house. In this house, the glory of God will manifest and it will grow from glory to glory with each passing day. Right? Where do we find the cross reference? Keep your finger here. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, rather, chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There is an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison being manifested within us. Are you listening? Right? So the Old Testament priesthood, right, were unable to stand in the glory, manifested glory of God. Right? Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We'll read verse 2 and 3 again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 2 and 3. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Now one of the reasons why we need to be worshippers of the Lord is because the degree to which we worship God is the degree to which we have come to receive and realize the glory of God. Hello, from our insides. And as we learn how to bow before God, as we learn how to worship Him in spirit and in truth, the reason why God asks you to do that, why God demands that, is so that He can manifest His glory. Are you listening? So let's carry on. Let's look at this temple that Solomon consecrated to God. Verse 16. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So what is the glory of God all about? The manifestation of His name, the manifestation and the unveiling of His eyes and His heart. The glory of God is the reality of His I Am. Who He is and all that He is. And the communication of who He is and all that He is glory. And He says, I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Well, the temple of Solomon is no longer standing. But God said, it is my purpose to have a house where my name will be there forever and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That house is you and me. That house is the living tabernacle that God is constructing within us and amongst us. so that he can manifest his name, he can manifest an intimacy in our lives, so that his heart and his eyes will be opened in this house, that we will live in an intimacy of a heart-to-heart relationship with the living God, and we will see things in his through his eyes, and his name will be unveiled in us and amongst us. His glory will be seen within us and amongst us. Are you listening? Right? Now that reality is what Jesus Christ brings into us. The reason for why as to why that reality can be brought alive in us is only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take out the name of Jesus and all that cannot come forth. Because the glory that God is manifesting within us is the glory that he invested in the name of Jesus Christ when he raised him up from the dead. That glory is associated with a power that will unveil that glory and communicate that glory so that we will live in that glory. The glory is not ours, but we were called to discover that glory and to express that glory. The glory is not ours, but we are called to receive and realize the realities of that glory and live by it. So God's blessing on our lives is to unveil his glory in us, amongst us, and through us, in and by and through the name of Jesus, as the name of Jesus is communicated out of our lives by the Holy Spirit. So that's what we are called to take hold of. The surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him. Awesome. And in order to enter and realize this glory, we must see the word of God as being unveiled according to all of God's name. And you can only see the word of God being unveiled according to all of God's name through the testimony of Jesus. The church of Jesus Christ must discover the word of God in the spirit and life of Jesus. The church of Jesus Christ must discover the word of God, see and understand the word of God in the faith and love of Jesus. All of God's glory is invested in the faith and love of Jesus, in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he is called the bright and morning star. That's why he is called the root of David and the offspring of David. The root meaning the foundation of a people who are called the beloved. Offspring meaning the people who will unveil in the love of God as a people who are a pure and perfect expression of God's love for them. Are you listening? Right? And the reality that will enable this power to manifest through our lives is called the key of David. You find that in Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. Right? The key of David. Right? Let's just read that very quickly. Right? Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, and who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Notice the proclamation here. You have a little power. And that little power is there because you have kept my word and have not denied my name. All right? But the key of David unveils according to that power that is working within us. That power that has been described through the communicated word of God, that power that stands in the name of Jesus. And it opens a door that enables you to function in God. That's why Jesus said in John 10, I am the door. And you can go in and out and find pasture. So that door opens with the key of David. All right? What does all this tell us? It tells us that we must receive and realize what Jesus expressed to us through the cross. That a Christian faith that does not rise through the cross, that a Christian faith that tries to find substitutes for the cross of Jesus Christ is actually falsehood. That everything that God has given us is through His offering on the cross. Because Jesus manifested the name of God through His sacrifice. That's why the name Yahweh Yireh is a name manifested through sacrifice. Right? Genesis chapter 22. Right? When God says, I am your provider, that reality manifested through a sacrifice. Right? Genesis chapter 22 verse 14. And He said, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. In the mount of the Lord it will be seen, depending on which translation of the Bible you are reading. All right? That power to manifest provision from the mount of the Lord is what Jesus Christ has brought into our lives through His faith and His love. Because of the faith and love of Jesus, because of the potentials of that faith and love of Jesus being actually formed and realized in our own hearts, our heart has the capacity to rise into the mount of the Lord. David talked about this in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Let's turn to that. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. So he writes here, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. Who has a clean heart? Jesus Christ has a clean heart. Who has a heart of flesh? You and I have a heart of flesh. Whose flesh? The fullness of Jesus Christ. Correct? And that heart is designed to ascend the hill of the Lord so that the provision of God will manifest through the hearts of His people. Can you understand that? So God has chosen us so that we will unveil His provision to all creation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We are required to discover that. Because we are the people that God has chosen to raise so that He can manifest His provision in accordance with all of His name. That provision starts with the Word. We have to first define things the right way. If you don't define something the right way, you're not going to get it the right way. We cannot define things in human emotions. We cannot define things in human experience. Because although we may have an experience, our understanding of the experience may be totally different from what God really manifested. We can see a vision, but our understanding of that vision can be totally skewed. Why? Because our nature is skewed. Because our thoughts are carnal. Because our desires are skewed. And that is why it is so important that we understand that everything has to be communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. Because that which is communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus is the truth. And if something is defined in us in the spirit and life of Jesus, if something is established in us in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, if something is opened inside of us in the love of Jesus, then it will truly manifest what God wants to manifest. And so the glory that God wants to communicate into us is entirely through His Word. Hello. Not mere experience. It is entirely through His Word. He wants to define the avenues by which His glory will be perfectly communicated, perfectly realized, and perfectly manifested. In order to ensure that the glory will be entirely of Him, He has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us in the name of Jesus. He has sent the Holy Spirit to make sure that we receive and realize all things in the name of Jesus accurately and properly. So let's go back and hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ once more. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 13 to 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Right? Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Correct? Only the Holy Spirit can guide you into all that stands in the name of Jesus. Verse 14. He says, he shall glorify me. Hello? Glory can only be manifested when you choose to glorify the Lord your God. So Jesus says, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. But that glory must be in turn unveiled in our hearts so that we glorify him. The glory of Christ Jesus can only be established in us when we choose to glorify him, when we have a desire to glorify him. And so he says, the Holy Spirit brings into you a process of thought that will glorify me. That the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of you will always lift up my name. So he says, he shall glorify me, right? He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. And when he has disclosed it to you, in your heart there will be a desire to glorify the name of Jesus. Not a desire just to build big churches and see miracles manifest, but an actual desire to glorify Jesus. And so everything that we build, everything, every miracle that we unfold will glorify Jesus. And the people who are under our ministries will have a desire to glorify Jesus. And one day the creation to whom we minister to will also have a desire to glorify Jesus. Because in glorifying Jesus, right, we glorify God. Why? Because all that God has unveiled in Jesus Christ comes from his own heart. So let's read the next verse. What does the Lord say? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Amen. He's making a faith statement there, by the way. Correct? All that the Father has is mine. All right? And the Holy Spirit will take of mine and will disclose it to you. And when it's disclosed to you, there will be a desire within you to glorify my name. So the power that unveils all of this is the power of his resurrection, the power that communicates in his spirit and his life, the power that communicates through his faith and his love for you. And when you begin to realize realities that stand in the spirit and life of Jesus, that stand in the faith and love of Jesus, who do you think you will glorify? Because you are receiving things that have got nothing to do with your capacity. They are everything to do with God's grace. So of his fullness we have all received, John 1:16. Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And when grace and truth are realized through Jesus Christ, what unveils from our heart is a desire to glorify him who has given us everything. What is there to boast about except in the Lord? So yes, we have got the capacity to boast and be proudful. But all of that capacity to boast and to be proudful is supposed to be unveiled in the name of Jesus. For his glory. We are to boast in the Lord. We are to boast in the glory of the Lord that has been peculiarly unveiled, perfected, and completed into each and every one of our lives. Praise the Lord. So this resurrection power is a power that brings into us a deep intimacy with God. Why an intimacy? Because it unveils in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no resurrection power except in and by and through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Correct? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. What is the cross all about? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that resulted in the unveiling of a power called resurrection power. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the dunamis of God. It is the dunamis of God. Dunamis is resurrection power. Are you listening? So this witness that God is building inside of us, that witness of blood, water, and spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. That witness is defined in blood, water, and spirit. The witness of the cross. So dunamis power is a power that is to be unveiled in a living and growing witness. And that living and growing witness is meant to be developed in the entirety of our being. So we are designed for resurrection power. Every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body, heart and mind, thought, word, and deed, intent, attitude, desire, and imagination, object and purpose, will and emotion, character, nature, and personality, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, the entirety of our being is designed to receive and realize resurrection power. And that resurrection power is entirely received. That resurrection power is entirely God's provision. And the spiritual battle that is going on is to stop you from receiving that. Which is why when you preach word like this, people go to sleep. Right? Okay? So this power is very personal to you. All right? This power is very personal to you. Nothing can be more personal to you than the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God's design awesome? Yeah, truly awesome. That the entire resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be manifested in each and every one of us as a peculiar testimony of Jesus. That we will all stand one day entirely as unique testimonies of Jesus. Of what God has done with us in the name of Jesus, of what God has brought alive in us through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, of what God has ordained in our lives from the foundations of the earth, where the Word of God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a power for a new creation. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it is called the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So this power of His resurrection is meant to unveil us as a new creation in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God. And you find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So you and I must focus on receiving and realizing Christ Jesus, because there's no such thing as resurrection power without the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is why in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. If you don't know Him, the power of His resurrection cannot manifest. If there is no desire to know the Master, if there is no desire to see Him revealed in your life, there can be no manifestation of resurrection power. Because resurrection power is entirely conformed to the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Right? And we must understand that. And that power is meant to be developed in each and every one of our beings. And God has called us to receive and realize of this. The reason why we are infilled with the Holy Spirit is so that the Holy Spirit will take us into all of this, because this is the work of God. All right? This is the work of God. It has to be entirely the work of God. It cannot be the work of man. It cannot be something that is of our own carnal desires and our own ambitions. It has to be entirely of the will of God. The question, of course, is, do you really want all this? Do you really want the will of God to manifest in your life? Do you really want to be conformed to Christ Jesus? Do you really want to see the glory of the risen Christ manifested in you? That's a question you have to answer in your own free will. Nobody else can answer that. And to answer and say yes to each of the questions that I just asked you involves a spiritual battle. Because there will be a part of you that says, I don't want him. There will be a part of you that says, I want all things established in my name. I want all things to reflect me. Hello, that's our character, by the way. That's our fallen character and nature. But in order for that character and nature to be removed from us, we must be willing to receive Jesus Christ. It is only as he rises that nature of ours will die. Right? That's why we are baptized into his death. Why are we baptized into his death? We are baptized into his death because his death is a communication of a faith and love and a forgiveness that you and I don't know anything about. It is a faith beyond any kind of faith that we can produce singularly or collectively. It is a love like a love that we do not even understand. It is a forgiveness that we cannot comprehend. Because he didn't just say the words, he meant the words. And so we are baptized into his death. We are immersed into the realities of the highest form of his faith and his love and his forgiveness for us. And in that immersion into his faith and his love and his forgiveness, we have the capacity to rise to a new witness, to a new life. And in rising to a new life, we put to death that part of us that says, I don't want all this. Are you listening, brethren? So it's so important for us to understand that it is as we set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we choose to receive him, as we ask God to reveal him in us, as we ask God to enable us to glorify him, that we will come alive to this resurrection power. Hello. You must start praying for things that you don't feel you want. Hello. To have Jesus as your Lord and your Master, right? It took me 10 years to say this prayer that I want to be a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. 10 years it took me to actually say those words and say amen to it. 10 years. So you can have your fair share. Right? But you must pursue it. You must take it to the Lord, because for you to say the right words and to mean the right words is an act of God. It is an act of God. If you can understand that if it's an act of God, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. All those things that a part of you doesn't want, God can bring into you. Because through the Spirit and life of Jesus, God can transform your free will. And if something is not established inside of you in your own free will, it does not belong. So ultimately, worship is all about whether you really want to glorify God. Correct? And that desire to actually glorify him and magnify him. Right? That's an act of God, by the way. Right? You have come to receive and realize something of him that is so special to you that you want to worship him, that you want to glorify him, that you want to magnify him. So if you are going to worship God, it is because you have come to see the glory of Jesus. And when we worship God, we are giving expression to the glory of Jesus from the altar of our hearts. Because Jesus worshiped God with his entire life. Not with a song and a dance, but through a sacrifice on a cross. Jesus Christ worshiped God through his sacrifice. And God manifested his glory on that sacrifice and raised that sacrifice in resurrection power to a new life. And now God is asking, I want to manifest that sacrifice in your heart so that you will glorify me in the wonder of him. So of his fullness we have all received. How have we received? Through a sacrifice. Because in that sacrifice, Jesus died for you and me. In that sacrifice, He expressed a faith and a love in God for us. And when that faith and love unveils in your heart and my heart, we will fall before God. What else is there to do? Hello, what else is there to do? If you and I actually can see and understand the faith and love of Jesus, what else is there to do except to fall before the Father and to glorify Him? Right? So we saw those priests in the Old Testament, when the glory of God fell, they had to fall down. There was nowhere else to go. Hello, there was nowhere else to go except to fall down. But do you understand that in the New Testament, God is manifesting His glory inside of us based on our free will? So for hard-hearted people like us to fall before God, it's an awesome manifestation of power. So resurrection power is meant for a new life. A new life that will truly see God as He is meant to be seen. A true life that will truly obey God as He is meant to be obeyed. A true life that will truly proclaim the greatness of God as He is meant to be glorified. And all that came out of a cross. That's why if you go back to the law, you will find that the entire Jewish calendar every day, over cycles of 50 years, had sacrifices, morning and evening. The entire calendar of 50 years, where 50 represents grace completed. 5 is the number of grace, 10 is the number of completion. The cycle of 50 years, which is called a Jubilee year, is a manifestation of grace completed. And grace completed is through the unveiling of a sacrifice. So to the Jew under the law, every morning and evening had a sacrifice. If it was a Sabbath day, they had additional sacrifices. If it was a feast day, they had additional sacrifices. If they wanted to make voluntary offerings of a peace offering, or a guilt offering, those were additional sacrifices. But everything in under the law was accompanied with a sacrifice. So if you were living 3,000 years ago, if you were living in that context, you will be seeing sacrifice every day. Sacrifice would be done every day, morning and evening. That is to point to the fact that everything in the future under the new covenant was going to come out of that sacrifice. And if we think that we can function by the Holy Spirit without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are talking nonsense. If we think we can operate gifts without the name of Jesus, just by anointings, we are talking nonsense. That's why so many of our pastors have fallen. Because everything must come out of Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is the unveiling of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Without the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which are a manifestation of the character and nature of Jesus Christ, nobody has the character and nature to hold the power of God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are just simply a manifestation of all of those miracles that Jesus did through His life. Without Jesus, there is no meaning to those gifts. Because those gifts are just replicating what He did in his life and ministry. So the gifts are just an expression of the testimony of Jesus. But that's not what is happening in the church. We are manifesting gifts as if we just had them and we just prayed them in and we did this and we did that. Hello, it does not come without His testimony. It is an expression of His testimony. It's a manifestation of resurrection power. That's why it can be communicated through you and me. Just because it comes through an anointing upon does not mean it has got nothing to do with Christ Jesus. Because it is written in the scriptures that His fullness must fill all in all. And before His fullness can fill all in all, it must fill all in all in His own body, and we are His body. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want His fullness to fill us? And there will be a part of you that says yes, and there will be a part of you that says no. And you have to stake that part of you that says no and say, Lord, crucify that. So when it says, when Paul talks about sufferings of Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings, it is talking about dying to our flesh, dying to our carnal desires. The battle is inside of you. Haven't you known that? The biggest battles in your life are fought inside of you where nobody else can see. And what is the battle all about? Whether you want the things of God or you don't want the things of God. Right? And as God takes you from stage to stage, you find there is a part of you that says yes and amen, and there is a part of you that says, I don't want it. The key to understand this is that when you take what you don't want and present it before the Lord and say, Lord, I have a problem. There is a part of me that does not want your will. Can you deal with that for me? And if you can perseveringly walk asking the Lord to bring the change that you cannot bring, He will bring the change. You will change. Nothing is impossible with God. Otherwise, we will be like the rich young man who turned around and walked away dejectedly. Right? The disciples turned to Jesus and said, if this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who is going to come inside the kingdom of God? And what did the Lord say? With man it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. And that's what we are called to understand. That through the cross God has released a power of His resurrection to enable what is absolutely impossible for us to become absolutely possible. And that is the grace of God. That's why Jesus says, my power is perfected in your weakness. It is when we are strong that we are failures. If we understand that our strengths are our biggest weaknesses, we will be a very blessed people. So my power is perfected in your weakness. The Greek word for power is dunamis. So what is to stop us from becoming a perfect new creation? Nothing. Because as long as we trust the Lord our God and let Him deal with us, the changes will come. Yes, they will be painful at times. But so what? Living in sin is no great bed of roses, is it? It's just that we've got used to the fire. Right? But if the Lord was to take us on a trip to hell, then we will have a very different perspective of what is pain. Right? Yeah. So let's choose the power of the Lord, the power of His love. Trust the Lord. Ask Him to bring those changes in your life. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Hello. How does He strengthen us? With His power. How does He strengthen us? With His faith and His love. Amen. So in the journey that you have to enter into in your life, trust Him. Sometimes it seems as if there is no tomorrow. Sometimes it seems as if there is nobody around. That's when God says, but I'm still there. I cannot leave you, neither will I forsake you. Right? Many of us lose sight of that. We lose our temper and we say, I won't go and find God. I want to go and do my own thing. That's when we make foolish mistakes. Because if you leave God, it automatically says you're stepping into the hands of Satan. And if you think that Satan can bless you, my goodness, you must be bigger than a fool. Yet so many Christians make that choice. Hello. We can throw our temper tantrums as much as we want. It doesn't change one iota of God's will. God's will is all that is going to be done. You can go and you can imagine whatever you want, do whatever you want, drink as much as you want. Right? It doesn't change anything. Right? The only thing you are destroying is yourself. What God has given, He has given. And it's time for us to understand that you really don't have any choice in the matter. Because the choices you're making is life or death. There's no in-between choice. And when you have a choice between life and death, what can you choose except life? And that life, God has opened to you in a grace that He has defined in resurrection power. A grace that is defined in the faith and love of Jesus for you. Why don't you want to discover the faith and love of Jesus? Because the Bible says as you discover the faith and love of Jesus, you will come to fall in love with Him. That's why He is the root of David. David is the beloved. In the root of his faith and his love, you will come to fall in love with Him. And when you fall in love with Him, you will be His offspring, manifested in His fullness and in His image. And God will give you a key that is called the key of David, so that you will inherit the blessings that God wants to manifest through your peculiar life. And there is no need to compete for this. Everything in God is open to you. You don't have to stab somebody in the back and say, oh my goodness, if I didn't do it, he would have taken it away from me. Everything in God is open to you. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for what you have given us in the resurrection of your Son. There's an awesome mystery of life that rests in His resurrection, Father. And that mystery of life is meant to be unveiled, to be revealed and developed in each and every one of us, and in all of us across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile, Father. And Father, although we barely understand what you're really saying, we know, Lord, that one day that understanding will be manifested in our whole being. And that understanding will reflect the God whom we know. The God whom we have come to see, the God whose love we have come to receive and realize, the God whose testimony is perfectly revealed in our lives. So as we bow before you at this time, Father, we bless you and thank you for your precious Son. We bless you and thank you that our hearts are designed for all of Him, Lord. And all of Him has been given to us in a living sacrifice, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will unveil the sacrifice of His fullness from the altars of our heart, so that we will become the people you want us to become in His image and in His fullness. So resurrection power is designed to manifest in us His fullness, manifest in us a conformance to Him, so that His glory will be fashioned and formed into our being. And everything that we express will in turn be an expression of His glory. And when we manifest His glory from the altars of our hearts, Father, you will take pleasure in all that you see. So we give you glory and honor, Father, for the intents and desires of your heart. Let your will be done in each one of us and in the lives of all of our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places. May we truly come to appreciate what you have given us in your Son. And may we truly magnify and glorify Him, Father. Through all that we become, through all that we do, let this power of your resurrection be described in us, Father, through your living word. Let every facet of your word find form and substance in us, Lord, so that we will unfold as you want us to be unfolded, Father. And transform our natures, transform our character, transform our free will, that we may see and know all things in the truth that will totally set us free. So that we will know the freedom and liberty of walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, functioning by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, being fully set free from the law of sin and death. And all the power that will unveil this possibility, Lord, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For this we bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Everything in our lives is a Passover. Everything that God is going to unfold in us in a greater and greater measure involves a Passover. And Jesus is saying that He went to the cross in order to enable that Passover in our lives through His faith and His love for us, because of His willingness to forgive us. Even though at points in our life we are actually driving nails into His body, yet He says, I'm prepared to forgive you as long as you turn to me, and I'm prepared to work with that nature and transform that wicked nature into that of the nature of a saint. I will transform that wicked nature in total conformance to me.
That's a Passover. Praise the Lord. That is a Passover. You see, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but Egypt never left their hearts. In the new covenant, in the reality of being born again, God has brought us out of Egypt, and He is working into us the miracle of a permanent change that will not look back and say, how nice if I could go back to the world. Right? And all of us are being asked to make those kind of choices, right? Sometimes they are very hard choices. But you must understand there is no life in the world. People who live in the world die. Right? So as we celebrate Holy Communion, let's understand that in this communion, Jesus Christ is opening to us something that is awesome. Right? Let's look at verse 14 of Luke 22. And when the hour had come, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. Right? So we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Can you imagine what the power must be that will enable people like you and me, who have the capacity of perfect turkeys, to be seated with Him in the heavenly places? Right? Honestly. Can you imagine what the power must be? That the Word of God should say that you and I are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. That's a Passover, isn't it? A Passover that is of amazing power. And when he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Right? I'm going to eat this Passover with you. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a long meal together. It's going to be a long communion together. And you need to understand that I suffered. I produced through that suffering the faith and the love and the forgiveness that will enable this Passover meal to be manifested in your life. Hello. Would you and I do such a thing? Would you and I actually even begin to do such a thing? Hello. Do you think when we do things and we reject Jesus, it doesn't cause Him pain? We just think that the pain was inflicted 2,000 years ago. I think we inflict more pain on Him today than we did 2,000 years ago in the physical and natural world. Yet He works through that pain because of His faith and His love. Do you realize that every change in our lives is a battle? Who fought the battle? Who fought the battle of perseverance to bring the change inside of us? Amen. Jesus and nobody else. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Within you. Amen. Can you imagine the power that exists that the kingdom of God should be opened within you? That you should have access to the kingdom of God at the speed of thought. Those are things we will deal with in the future. And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Resurrection power has to bear fruit, brethren. We are called to bear fruit. And we must bear fruit no matter how we feel about it. We must do what is right in the face of all that is wrong. Because when we do what is right, the kingdom of God has come. We are giving expression to the kingdom of God, and humanity needs realities that are of the kingdom of God. And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do what in remembrance of me? Be living members of my body. Because it is as you function as members of my body through this power that I have given you that you actually remember me. So it starts with very small things that we do every day. And in the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. You see, He says, everything that I have given you as a blessing stands in my suffering. in my blood. My blood was shed through suffering. My faith and my love for you is an expression in my blood. And everything that I have given you in my blood is meant to become a covenant of life to you, a blessing, a perpetual and eternal blessing. Praise the Lord for that. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that this Passover that we are partaking of is entirely an expression in resurrection power. And that resurrection power, Father, has been manifested to us in your righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, that that resurrection power is being developed in each and every one of us. That we are a people called forth to discover this resurrection power. Be developed in this resurrection power. And give expression to the wonder of this resurrection power in all that we become, in all that we do, in thought, word, and in deed. So as we partake of this Passover today, we thank you for the power that is working within us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is unfolding this power and working this power into us, perfecting and completing this power into us, Lord. And we know, Lord, it must be a tough ministry doing that with us, Lord. But we thank you for what you have achieved, and we look forward to what you are going to achieve, not just with us here, Father, but in the church across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. And so, Father, we ask you to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unfolding to us the prophetic dimensions of his fullness available to us in resurrection power. And so as we partake of this prophetic reality, we thank you, Lord, that this prophetic reality will be fulfilled in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ will come forth victorious in Jesus' name, victorious in the courage of the lion and the lamb, victorious in the faith and love of Jesus, victorious in the power of his resurrection. And we thank you that your word communicated into us by your Holy Spirit will unveil this resurrection power so that we will become all that you want us to become. For all this, Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that has come down from heaven, Father, that in his fullness we are unveiled as a new creation. We thank you for the power that is being worked into us as the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places. We thank you, Father, for your persevering love. We thank you for the changes, the transformation that is unveiling in each one of us. And Lord, we know you have done an awesome work in us, Lord. You have persevered with us in a love that has never left us, Lord. And we thank you that as we partake, O God, of the bread of life, we are receiving of the substance of the Master's fullness in prophetic terms, Father. And we know, Lord, that those prophetic terms will be unveiled in each one of us as we come forth as your peculiar instruments, Father, sons you have created from your own heart in your love and your faith for us, Lord. So we bless you and thank you for what we have received in Christ Jesus, for what we are continuing to receive in Christ Jesus. And we pray, Father, that all that is manifested in us in the fullness of the Master will truly be unveiled to the glory of your majesty by the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for the cup that was poured out for us, Father. In a living witness in blood, water, and spirit. A living witness of faith and love. A living witness unveiled in spirit and life. A true and faithful witness. The beginning of the creation of God. We celebrate this prophetic witness, O God, of our creation in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for what you have done with us, Lord. And we pray that this witness will be fully developed in us so that we will truly die to self and rise, O God, to a new creation in Christ Jesus. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.